Morning. Happy Father's Day. I think I said it to all y'all, but if I didn't get to you, happy Father's Day to you. If you're not a dad and you're a man, you still got that fatherly influence to exercise, so happy Father's Day to you also. And so we're excited for everybody to be here, our friends and family and guests. We're glad to have you here. For our kiddos from age 4 to 6 grade, which is 12 years old, we have Friends Church, and we're going to go there now. Ready? Break. Walk, though. Need to walk. Walk it. Walk it. Miss Helen, I don't know if you fit in that group, but, oh, you're just taking a... Oh, you're going to say hi to Miss Edna. All right.
A 52nd anniversary.
I know. At 54, I think they've been married 54. Yeah, I think my in-laws have been married for 54 years, something like that. And... That's a little bit of personal trivia. I got some other stuff. I'll share it with you later. You got to keep coming back to church to get the whole deal, you know. We're continuing in our prayer life and life prayer study through the Lord's Prayer. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be focusing on verse 12, which deals with forgiveness. This may be the toughest of the parts in the Lord's Prayer. It's the only part that really puts a condition or a requirement on us. Other requirements, other conditions were just, you know, we need daily bread, so we ask for daily bread. God is holy, and so it says we ought to hallow and reverence His name. Those are fairly easy. This says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A little tougher. Let's pray and see if God gives us a word. And I believe this. I believe a lot of people get stuck on the issue of forgiveness. I believe a lot of people get stuck because they refuse to forgive. I believe there's a lot of bitter, angry Christian people who stubbornly refuse to let go when someone has offended them, cheated them, wrong them, and they refuse to let go, and what it does is rob them of the vitality of living the life of a forgiven child of God. I hope there's some freedom here today. I hope that there's some enthusiasm to see how we can join Jesus in His main ministry. Remember who it is who taught us to pray. It's Jesus giving us this instruction. And who is Jesus to us? Well, He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Without Him, forgiveness wouldn't be possible for us. I would say when it comes to matters of forgiveness, wouldn't you say Jesus is probably the highest, not probably, but is the highest authority that you could go to on the subject of forgiveness? Don't you think He knows more about forgiveness than we would ever learn in 1,000 lifetimes? All the books, all that's written in every field imaginable to man could never cover what Jesus knows about forgiveness, and He gives us an instruction right here. That we ask for forgiveness, but we also offer it. Y'all, this is one of those times we come in Scripture, and we just need to be humble. We simply need to obey what God, through the Lord, what the Lord Jesus tells us. We just need to listen to Him. We need to allow His Word to wash over us and then do what He says do. So let me pray for us, but get this in your minds. I'm going to shorten the verse just a little bit. Forgive us as we forgive. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Thank you for what you have done. Not theoretically, not hypothetically, but you made forgiveness possible for every human being that calls on the name of Jesus Christ in faith. You've made forgiveness possible for this world through the cross of Christ. You've made forgiveness not just possible, but accessible because Jesus shed his blood on the cross. Father, would you help us to join wholeheartedly in the mission of forgiveness that you are leading in this world? Help us not to put it on the back burner, to act as if, well, you forgave us at one point in our lives and that's a done deal, now we move on unaffected. Help us not to live a lie like that, but to come to the truth that the fact that you forgave us has put us on an eternally different path, given us purpose, and also given us vitality in this world. Help us to walk in that grace. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. On Facebook, there's a lot of testimonies about dads, and there's a lot of stories on the radio, and I got to hear a testimony, and I just want to share it with you. I don't know that there's anything super profound in it. It's just one that I heard, and it stuck in my brain. it was a testimony about a daughter. She was sharing about her dad. She said, her dad and her, they had a really good relationship, although they were very different. She said he was the silent type. They lived out in the Delta, a town called Drew. I don't know if anybody's heard about that before. And her daddy was a farmer, you know, a good man, but the silent type, and she was really chatty, you know. And she said, you know, when they were young, you know, she was a daddy's girl. Then as she got older, all she wanted to do was get away. She wanted to get away from the house. She wanted to get away from Drew. She said she wanted to live in a town that had a stop sign and a street light. You know, she wanted traffic signals and shops and things. And so in her efforts to get away, she started living a life that didn't jive with the way she was raised morally. She went away from the Lord. She went away from her father's teachings. She did all these things and just started living like a wild child. You know, aren't you glad that's just a story? That don't happen to our kids. You know, she went off to college and started living like a wild child. You know, that doesn't even happen anymore. Anyway, moving on. she allowed a distance to grow between her and her dad for a while. God got her attention back, and she came. She asked her dad for forgiveness. He gave her forgiveness. They got their relationship back going again. She found the love of her life. They got married and you know, started to raise a family. And then daddy was found out that he had colon cancer real bad. And he died within the next 2 years. And she was heartbroken. I share that to say this, that forgiveness is a mighty wonderful thing. It put them back on path. It put that daughter back on path with her daddy. Now, that daughter sure wanted that daddy for a lot longer. She felt like she just got things back on rolling again. She felt like she had just gotten it together. But I wonder, what would have happened if she would have never come back? What happens if she didn't offer, you know, ask for forgiveness or receive forgiveness and mend that relationship? She wouldn't even have had that little bit of time that she had. Forgiveness is such a practical and powerful thing. We need to learn how to receive it. We need to learn how to give it. We need to learn how to revel in it and say, I'm forgiven. Praise the Lord. I'm forgiven by God. Thank you, Jesus. We need to learn these things. You know, because wherever you are, whatever kind of relationships you have, we'll talk about this a little more at the end. Y'all, learning how to give and receive forgiveness is what enables us to stay in healthy relationships, to move on, to love and be loved. Did y'all know that? It's so necessary for us. So let's not get hung up on this passage. Let me get rid of one place that hangs us up. Sometimes people look at this passage and they think this: well, for me to be forgiven, I have to forgive others. Otherwise, I can't receive the grace of God. Therefore, if I don't forgive, I can't be forgiven. That's not what it's saying. It's not what it's saying. It's not what Jesus was saying. You're never going to be saved by your works, not even the work of forgiveness. But it is saying this: if you're ever going to experience the forgiveness and grace of God personally and live in it, walk with Him, be involved in the ministry that He's involved in, then you're going to have to give that forgiveness. But y'all, we're always saved by grace. So get that. You know, the devil likes to put thoughts in your mind. You can't be saved unless you do this and that. You can't be saved unless you do this and that. This is a works-free zone, a grace-enriched atmosphere. So breathe it in and realize you're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what Jesus did and your faith in that, okay? So let's just breathe that in and not get hung up on that potential hang-up place. But let's look at forgiveness and how Jesus taught it. Forgiveness is the greatest need that the human being experiences once he realizes that God is real. Forgiveness is the greatest need of a human being who's been awakened spiritually and realizes that God is real. I experienced this firsthand in my testimony. I didn't think I needed forgiveness because I didn't really believe in God. And if you don't really believe in God, then what do you need forgiveness for at all? I mean, if I hurt you, okay, maybe I'll ask you for forgiveness, but why do I need to be forgiven by God? Why do I need to deal with all that stuff? It's not until we are aware that there is a God who is holy, a God who cares, that's when we really understand that we need forgiveness. Forgiveness is the cry of the awakened heart. So look, if you're sitting here today, and I just want you to answer this for yourself, and you think, man, talking about forgiveness, I've got that, I've done that. Maybe you ought to ask yourself, am I living in the reality that God exists, that God is holy, that God is careful, that He cares about how I act, He cares how I treat people, He cares how I talk about His name or how I don't talk about His name? Maybe you're not living in the reality where God is God. Maybe you're not living in a reality where God has a care about what you do with your everyday life. But I want to tell you, people who live recognizing that God is King and that He's holy, they care about forgiveness. They care a whole lot about it. King David, he walked with God. He was called a man after God's own heart. But have you read the Psalms? David is always asking for forgiveness. Go to Psalm 51 specifically, or Psalm 32. He's asking God to forgive him. You might say, well, David, He forgave you. But David looked up and he saw the Lord. David understood what kind of God God was. He understood what kind of man he was. He still had some sin in his bag, didn't he? Even though he was a man after God's own heart, he still had an eye that said, that woman looks fine, and I want her to be mine. And I'm going to continue to rhyme until my sermon's out of time. Sorry about that. He knew. He still had things. He still had a nature that drove him to do bad things. He was willing to kill one of his top men to hide that sin. He writes about that. He says, when he hid his sin, his bones were crushed and it was heavy upon him. So here's a child of God, a man who knows God, and yet he's crying out for forgiveness. He wasn't crying out because he didn't know God. He wasn't crying out because he was lost. He was crying out because he knew who God was, he knew who he was, and he knew he needed the forgiveness of God to abide upon him. He knew he needed that. Happy Father's Day. King Josiah was one of the best kings after David in the nation of Israel had. They found the word of God in his day. It had been hidden. It had been lost. His, you know, Manasseh, his dad or granddad, I can't remember exactly how it went, had, you know, let the temple become shambles, all these things. The word of God was lost. They find the word of God. They read it. And he asked for forgiveness. And he asked for the whole nation. Oh, forgive us. Forgive us the idolatry. Forgive us the trespasses. Forgive us all these things. It's because he saw God, because he knew who God was, not because he was lost. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, as a prophet of God, a holy man, he looks up and he sees the Lord and the Lord filling his temple, and the Lord was holy, and Isaiah realized that he was not holy, specifically in the area of his words. Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. So seeing the God clearly made him realize he needs forgiveness. It wasn't because he was unaware of God, it's because he was aware of God. Daniel, the prophet, he's in exile in Babylon. Probably one of the holiest men. Try to find something on Daniel. I double dog dare you to do a Bible study and find something on Daniel that we can accuse him of. The people who wanted to accuse Daniel in his day had to make things up. They finally said, the only thing we can do to accuse Daniel is to make it illegal to pray. Because that dude was praying. They said it's illegal to pray to anybody but the king of Persia at the time. You know, because they had a regime change. Aren't you glad there's not going to be any regime changes in heaven? I'm glad. But anyway, they had a regime change. They're going to make it illegal to pray to anybody but the king of the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel prays to God. That's the only way they could catch him doing wrong. They had to make his prayers illegal. But you know when Daniel prayed? Go to Daniel chapter 9. Do you know what he prayed? He said, shame of face belongs to me and my people. Sin belongs to me and my people. Forgive us. This is not a man who doesn't know God. This is a man who knows God probably better than anybody on the earth at his time. And what's his prayer? Forgive us. What about in the New Testament, in the apostles? What about the apostle Peter? Three times he denies the Lord. But what happens after that? Three times. For every time he receives a reinstating forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Was he lost? Was Peter confused? Did he not know who Jesus Christ was? No, he was a man like you and I are men. He was a human being like we're human beings, and he sinned in denying Jesus Christ. What was his great need? The man who knew Jesus, the chief of the apostles, the spokesman for their whole group, what did he need above all things? There's a whole theme going on. You might be catching up on it. Yeah, forgiveness. It's exactly what he needed. He needed to be forgiven. He needed to be reinstated. He needed to know that Jesus Christ accepted him even though he was a sinful, denying, weak man. He needed to know. He needed to look in Jesus' face. And Jesus says, do you love me, Peter? He says, you know I love you. He says, feed my sheep. He reinstated him over and over. It's exactly what Peter needed. Peter didn't need money. Peter didn't need a building to use to do the gospel ministry. What he needed was that forgiveness, present forgiveness. Not, I accepted the Lord when I was 8 years old and now I'm forgiven forever and ever, amen, and I'll never talk about it again. Baloney. That's a lie. I ain't saying that you weren't saved. I'm saying, though, if you're really forgiven, it's not something that just happened back then. It's something that's a present reality with you. And if it's not, you need to go back. And you need to look at God. You need to seek His face. Because when you see Him, I guarantee you're going to say, I need to be forgiven. If you come and look carefully into the Word, you know what you'll see? You'll see you need to be forgiven. You know why I think Christians so often avoid prayer and avoid Bible study? They don't want to be confronted with the areas that they need to be forgiven. They don't want to be confronted with God. And so we shut Him out so we don't have to deal with our own need for forgiveness. Well, you can't shut God out forever. Do y'all know that? You can't shut Him out forever. Paul experienced the forgiveness of God. We think of Paul, we call him Saint Paul. Saint Paul, the Bible writer, was so holy a man, so strong in the spirit, such a good guy. But Saul of Tarsus was a religious terrorist. Saul of Tarsus saw women get killed because he didn't like Jesus and didn't like the church. Saul of Tarsus left young people, children, orphans, because he had their parents dragged off. That's who he was. What was his great need? Forgiveness, presently. Not just forgiveness. You know what he says in the very last letter he wrote? Do you know what he said? You know what he called himself? In the very last letter, 2 Timothy. What did he say? How did he refer to himself? He referred to himself as the chief of sinners. What was, when he thought about God and sought God, what was his present need? Forgiveness. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. A sentence that's so beautiful and so concise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Why did he tell us that? Why did he tell a group of Christians that? Because when we walk in this world and we sin, we need to know that forgiveness is still available for us. We need to know that we can experience that day by day. Because if you're going to walk with God, you're going to realize that you fall short so often. I get to pick on dads today. How you doing, dads? Let's take out our scorecard. Are you doing well? Are you a good dad? Did you yell at your kids today? Not yet. Remember watching a movie. It's called The Kid. And it has Bruce Willis in it. And he's a type A personality. He's hard driven. But he's got a tick. You know, like a nervous tick. He's trying to realize how he got this tick. It's kind of hard to preach like this. I'm glad God didn't give me one. And he goes back through, you know, in this movie, he actually, his a younger version of him, anyways, gets tied up with him. It's not a true story. It is a movie. And he's trying to figure out how he got this tick. And he's remembering back, and there was a tragedy, a personal tragedy in their family. And his dad handled it bad. And when the kid came up, say he was sorry, the dad just unloaded on him. Just poured out a venomous spew of just, it's your fault your mother died. It's your fault that these things happened. It's blah, blah, blah. And he starts pouring it on. And all of a sudden you see this kid go, that's where the tick came from. You know, that's where it started. So I wonder, if we are taking a scorecard just on being dads, How well are we doing? Now imagine, let's take a scorecard for all of us. How are we doing as followers of Christ? How are we doing as disciples? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been given the Holy Spirit and yes, have refused to be a witness to Jesus? Because he says, wait here until you're endued with power from on high that you might be witnesses. Have you been endued with power and yet you haven't gone and witnessed? How are we doing? It doesn't take long of me stepping on all of our toes before we realize we need forgiveness. How's your worship? We come on Sunday and we say God is worthy of our worship. Is he worthy on Monday too? Is he also worthy on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? How are we doing? It doesn't take long, does it? Before we realize what? What do we need? If we look up at God and we see how awesome it is, what do we need? I'm not getting off this point until y'all get it. It's going to be a long sermon. What do we need? Do y'all believe it? I mean, this is the Jesus teaching us. Y'all are like, yes, please believe it so he can move on. Please, someone say yes. He's not moving on until we all believe we need forgiveness. But you do. And it's not just an old forgiveness. You need a fresh. You need to know it. It don't need to be in the back of your mind. It needs to be on the front of your mind. It needs to be on the tip of your tongue. You need forgiveness from God. Those who know they need it are going to be the ones most willing to share it. We'll get to that in one moment. I want us to see what we need forgiving, why we need forgiveness. There's three words in the Lord's Prayer in various translations that we use trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses. The New King James that I preach out of uses the word debts. Forgive us our debts. The New Living Translation and other translations use the word sin. Forgive us our sins. So I just want to take those three words really quickly. Trespasses, debts, and sins. To trespass means that you cross a line. We drive throughout the country all the time. We see signs up on fence posts or on trees. No trespassing. Don't come onto this property. You're not welcome here. Don't step beyond this line. When we trespass and we step beyond the line, we cross God's lines. We trespass on His property. Maybe taking credit for something we ought to give Him credit for. Maybe not doing something we know is right and we just don't do it. Maybe doing things that are wrong. Crossing that line. We trespass. Have you trespassed against God? Yeah, you have. And I have too. The next one is debt. Anybody here know anything about debt? I know. We're Americans. We're experts on debt. It means you owe something. Forgive us our debts. What's owed? What has been, you know, it's like every time we sin, it like piles up like a debt. Isn't it weird how debt piles up? Anybody have debt piles? Like heaps of debt? You're like, woo! You just look up and say, man, look at, I can't even see the top. That's a Mount Detmore, you know? It turns into something real big and nasty and ugly. Can you imagine what our debt would be if God viewed all our trespasses, all our sin, as something owed, a payment owed? Like whenever you sin, there's something owed God. How big would your debt with God be? How big would it be? How much debt have you accumulated? What do you owe God? Whew. Think about it. It's not just every time we do something we're not supposed to do, but it's every time we don't do something we're supposed to do, and it just keeps piling up. When you realize that, you put your hands up and say, I need to be forgiven. Father, don't hold that debt against me. The last word is sins, and sin means to miss the mark morally. It's just missing the mark. You missed. This is what God had intended. But you missed. This is what God intended for faithfulness. This is what God intended for kindness. This is what God intended for gentleness and for lovingness. And you've missed. And you missed. And what we're saying to God is, forgive us where we missed. Forgive us. You're not going to hide it from God. You've crossed those lines. You owe that debt. You've missed that mark. We're just putting our hands in the air and saying, Father, forgive us. You don't even got to give any reason. You ever notice when somebody gets caught doing something wrong, they start to rationalize and explain why they did it? I only did that because I was drunk, man. Oh, that makes everything better. I'd have done it, I forgot to because I was doing such and such a thing. Oh, great. I promise I won't ever hit you again. I just got angry. Oh, okay. That's nice. I didn't do what you asked me to do because somebody else asked me to do something and I had to do that. Whatever it is. You know, we start rationalizing. We start making excuses. You want to know something awesome about God? He doesn't want your excuse. He wants your surrender. You're never going to convince God why you sinned was appropriate. I had to do it, otherwise I would have hurt their feelings. So what? I felt uncomfortable with what you told me to do, God, so I did something different. It don't work. He doesn't ask you to justify or rationalize or make excuses. He already knows you're a sinner. Do you know why we make excuses? We don't like to accept the idea that we're sinners. So we try to make excuses for our behavior. Well, I did it because of this and that. No, you did it because you're a sinner. But all we have to do is put our hands up and say, Lord, forgive us. And you know what He does? He forgives us. That word forgiven also can be translated as letting it go, canceling it, removing the results, just letting it go. Do you know that God knows how to let it go when you sin? When you ask Him for forgiveness, He lets it go. I love that. That's the simplest thing in the whole world. He doesn't let it go just because He loves you and just because you're His precious child. He lets it go because it's been paid for. That's why He can let it go. But He does. He lets it go. Praise God. He just, it's gone. There's a song that all the girls have left, but it's from that Frozen movie. And I've had to hear that so many times. And there's a song that says, let it go, let it go. I can't remember all the words. But that's how it goes. And I just want to say to y'all, God lets it go. So whatever you think you might have between you and Him, put your hands up, surrender. He'll let it go. He'll cancel it. He removes it. Isn't that awesome? Let me tell you, it's an awesome thing, and it becomes even better when we follow His example. This is the part nobody likes. This is the part that makes it difficult. I call it joining Jesus in His forgiveness ministry. Of course, I'm spinning it in a good way. Most people don't want to let it go. Hey, when somebody trespasses on you, when somebody owes you a debt, maybe it's something that they did to you and now you think they owe you something, or maybe it's a favor that you had expected them to owe you and give you and they didn't do it, they've held it back. Or maybe it's a sin where they've just flat out offended you, cheated you, betrayed you, hurt you for real. I think so many people think, well, I'd love to forgive him, but he really hurt me. Oh, that's true. Jesus only forgave mistakes and sins and trespasses that didn't hurt anybody. That's what he did. He only forgave those things that were unoffensive. The unoffensive sins, that's all Jesus did. He removed those ones. Nope, when it stings, when it hurts, when it almost makes you want to vomit, those are the ones you need to forgive. You need to forgive them all. You need to let them go. Oh, but you don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they did to you. You can tell me your story. I'm a preacher. I'll sit and listen and smile. But I don't care what they did. The bottom line is, you need to forgive them. You might not say, I don't have it in me. Then turn to God and say, God, help me forgive this person. I want to. I don't know how to. Could you teach me how? And He'll teach you how. Because He knows all about it. He knows everything there is to know, and He knows how to get you to do it. Any excuse you use for not forgiving someone is a lie from the world, the flesh, or the devil. That's the only thing to determine. Where is that lie coming from? You can be sure it's not coming from heaven. It's not coming from the Lord. It's not justifiable by the Word of God. It's selfish, it's childish, and it needs to be let go. It's ineffective. It's weighing you down. Everybody wants to lose weight. Quickest way to lose weight is forgive the grudges, forgive the hate, forgive the things that you're holding on to. It's the fastest weight loss program I know, because when you forgive, you start to walk a little lighter, you start to feel a little less heavy. Let it go. Cancel it. More likely, they can't undo whatever they did. A husband who cheats can't uncheat. Someone who's killed someone we loved can't unkill them. What are you going to do by holding them to the fire and choking them until they repay you? They can never repay you. Never. They can never unbetray you. They can never unhurt you. The bell, when it's rung, can never be unrung. Maybe they said bad words to you. I had somebody in my life who was verbally discouraging and abusive sometimes. What am I going to do? Well, I won't forgive him. I'm going to take this. I'm going to receive this grace that I know is needed, but never will I offer it to this person. Well, he needs it more than anybody else too, because he verbally abused a kid. What a lowlife. He needs forgiveness. You might say, I'm not forgiving them. They've done something so horrible. If they did it so horrible, it's because they're pitiful and they're sinners. They need forgiveness. Give it to them. Give the forgiveness. It's not an option. If you're going to walk with Jesus, if you're going to walk with Him, it's not an option to say, I'm going to receive it, but I'm not going to give it. I know what I said earlier in the thing. And it doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven. It doesn't mean you can't experience the grace of God. It means you won't ever experience the grace of walking in His forgiveness, of experiencing His forgiveness, of offering His forgiveness, and being in ministry with Jesus. I believe this. If you really love Jesus, you want to know Him. You want to walk with Him. Nothing will hinder your walk and knowledge of grace more than unforgiveness. Maybe unbelief. That's the only thing I could think of. But if you won't forgive, you're going to be on the bench. You're going to be on the shelf gathering dust. And if you want your life to count for something, don't even fool yourself into thinking you're going to get somewhere significant with the Lord without first forgiving and giving that forgiveness. I don't care if whatever somebody did to you was just belligerent. I don't care how personal it was. People get divorces and then they end up hating each other. Oh, no, 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 we're not going to do it. They need to give forgiveness. If that's you in here, give forgiveness. Maybe you've been hurt and abused as a child. Give forgiveness. Maybe the person who hurt you is dead. Tell God you forgive them. Give forgiveness. Give it. Give it away as freely as you received it. You paid nothing for your forgiveness. He paid everything. You can give yours away. Give it away. Give it to them. It's not an option for those who want to grow in the Lord. You're only fooling yourself. You'll be a baby forever. You'll never grow until you learn how to forgive. Forgiveness, part of that re-forgiveness or that forgiveness ministry of Jesus is reconnecting us. It reconnects God to us. This is always Godward to us first. He offers His forgiveness. We pray, Lord, forgive us. Father, forgive us our trespasses. And we're reconnected. It opens us up back to talk with God again. Oh, it's an amazing thing. In Romans chapter 5, in the first couple of verses, it says, having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That justification by faith is a theological way of referring to forgiveness. Having been forgiven, we have peace with God and access. You know what it means to have access? It means you can call Him on your prayer phone. It means you can come into the throne room. It means you can kneel before Him and talk with Him. It means that because He's made things right from Him to you, it's now right from you to Him. And there's some people who think they have something against God. Oh, I'm mad at God. Offer Him forgiveness, and that's the best I can tell you. But you got to get off yourself. You got to get over thinking you're something hot if you're mad at God. You need to hold your breath and refuse to take any more air into your lungs if you're mad at God. If you're mad at God, you've cut yourself off from whatever source of help and life that there really is in this world, and you need to stop it, hit your knees, and pray. If you need to forgive yourself. Those are the two things I hear most about, people who are mad at God and people who can't forgive themselves. If God can forgive you, you can forgive anybody, including yourself. And as soon as you think your righteousness is above God's righteousness, then you're out of reality and you need to go back to the beginning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Not my name, not their name, not our name, but your name. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because this whole deal ain't about you. No matter how much your mom and daddy told you that you could do anything and be anything and it's all about you, it's really not. They're just encouraging you because they love you. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. And if you can't forgive yourself, you need to find the big God who can. Okay? He's out there. Big Father God. Big Daddy God. He's out there. He's there, and he can forgive you and me, and he can lead us in forgiving. Okay? So those two things. I'm angry at God, and I can't forgive myself. Those are deflections to keep you away from moving forward with God. Those are obstacles the enemy puts in your path, and he's using your selfish pride. That's what he's using. So drop it. Let it go too, and move on. Move on with God. Okay? This is what you got to do. It reconnects us to us. And what I mean that is person to person. Just like the story I told you. There was a young girl, and that's so typical, that a young person will get away from their family, get away from their morals, get away from their values, and get away from God, and get away from everything that was important to them. How are they going to reconnect? How are they going to get back in the swing of things before it's too late? What do they need to do? They need to ask for forgiveness. What did the prodigal son do? What did he do to get back with his father? Father, forgive me, I've sinned against you in heaven. And then he tried to finish the rest of his speech, and his dad wouldn't let him, hugged him up, kissed him, reconnected, put a robe on him, sandals, a ring, killed the fattest calf, and had a party. It reconnects us. I just slapped my microphone, and it didn't like it. But forgiveness reconnects us to us. Is there someone you need to forgive? Let's start at home. Let's start with dad. Sometimes dads blow it because they get too angry. Sometimes dads blow it because they're not engaged. Sometimes dads blow it because they just flat out leave. Dads blow it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes we don't read enough with them. Sometimes we yell too much at them. Sometimes we don't get them the right present. Sometimes we're not at enough ball games. Sometimes we're at work too much and not at home enough. Let's start there. I don't know, when it comes to family members, it seems like dads are number one where the issues start. I had something with my dad. I had a problem, had an issue with my dad. I hear that all the time. Ladies, it might be higher a percentage of you all that have issues with your dads than even men. Ladies have daddy issues. Sometimes our daddies are so good. Sometimes our dads are so good. Maybe we don't learn how to cope. Maybe we end up getting mad and need to forgive them for that. I don't know what your issue is, but let's start there. Whether your dad's alive or whether he's not alive, have a conversation with God about your dad. Be willing to forgive him. Whatever it was he's done. He was there, whether he was overprotective like a drill sergeant. Dad in town who was a sergeant in the army. He was strict. You know, most of the time parents hear that they're not strict enough. He was strict. He was real strict. His daughter was very immature. When they came home, she had took her own life. She hung herself in a room. I don't know, you know, what was she trying to say to her dad? I don't forgive you? That started the whole thing. I mean, it's not secret information I'm giving you. This has been wide open. A couple years ago, we went through a suicide awareness because, you know, a lot of people take that option. Why? Why do you reckon they do? Because they've forgiven or because they refuse to forgive? What do you think it is? Well, let's start with dad. Why don't you forgive dad? Why don't you forgive? If you had a great dad and there's nothing to forgive, why don't you say amen? Say thank you, Lord, for the dad I have. Thank you, Lord, for what you did in giving me the dad that I have. Let's start there. And dad, maybe you need to give forgiveness. Maybe you had, I was talking to an older couple, and they had been married forever. And really, I think they're in their, y'all know them anyways. It was the Carver family. It was Randy's mom and dad, Homer and Helene. And they were sitting there, and Mr. Homer, his mind isn't there. You know, he had some dementia. And he kept saying, you know, as Miss Aline was dying there, he said, "I remember the first time I saw her. She was so pretty. First time I saw her, I went over and said, 'You know what? We ought to get married.'" And he said, "And we did." And he said, "We had such a good thing going until the twins came." And then, because he had dementia, about 5 minutes later, he would say, "I remember the first time I saw Helene. She was so good looking. So I went over there and said to her, 'Hey, we ought to get married.' And we did. And we had a good thing going until the twins came." 5 minutes later, "I remember the first time I saw," and I thought, "Oh man." Now I'm sitting there with one of the twins. I'm sitting there we're sitting there, and never mind Bert. And I know I'm hurt with daughter. She's sitting there going, "Oh, you know, Candy's wrong." You know, but, you know, maybe we think it would make us be bad dads to recognize that we need to forgive our kids. Might not have been anything that they did. Maybe it was just we weren't ready to be dads. Maybe we just got overwhelmed. Maybe we need to say, "I need to forgive them. I need to forgive them." Maybe there's things, dads, between you and your wife, or you and you know, a spouse, that you just say, I need to forgive them. I need to forgive them. I just need to let it go. Start at home with forgiveness. Isn't it weird that home is probably where some of the hardest hurts are? Home is probably the place where the hurts that we hold on to the most, that's where they live. That's where they haunt. They haunt our memories, maybe of our childhood home, maybe the home we're at now, maybe the home we just left. But that's where it is, and we need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to offer forgiveness. Start today. You want to walk with the Lord? You want to know Him better? You want to see the reality of who He is? Ask His forgiveness, and in the same breath, offer forgiveness to those who have offended you, hurt you, and betray you. And you will be walking in the ministry that Jesus is still working on today. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. And Lord, I pray right now that You would fill our hearts with courage. Sometimes we get so used to not forgiving that we curl up with our anger. We curl up with our resentments, and we hold on to them and nourish them and pet them and grow them as if there's some kind of right that we get to hold these things against other people. Father, help us to walk away from that lie. And Lord, I pray that we also wouldn't try to bury our unforgiveness under a bottle of pills, a bottle of beer, a bottle of whatever, that we might think we can escape, that we could outrun You. We can't outrun You. If there's unforgiveness in our life, when we step into the light of who God is, it will always show up. We can't outrun You. Lord, help us deal with that. Lord, today, help us forgive our dads. Help dads forgive. Help us to start at home with this whole ministry. Just right now, keep your eyes closed. Let me talk to you just for a quick minute. At the end of the service, we're going to have those who've just joined the church. You're going to come forward so the church can meet you. But then after that, if you need to pray for forgiveness, would you come up here after church? After we dismiss, will you take time out of your day to gather up and just say to the Lord, "Help me deal with this issue"? You don't got to confess to me or the group what it is. If you have unforgiveness, if you need to be a part of that ministry, come up here and let's pray it. Let's give it to God as a group. I'll call you up at the end of service. Father, help us. This issue is so important to You, that You sent Your Son Jesus that we might have forgiveness, and You will not allow Your child to stop that. for our good and for your glory. So, Lord, do your work in our life. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd come down for the morning offering. And as they do, I'm just going to keep praying. Lord, we give you thanks for this offering. We ask that you would loose the resources needed to minister forgiveness through this church. Forgiveness comes free, but buildings don't. Electricity doesn't. Staff and resources and all that. So, Father, if this is how we want to do it, help those who have the resources to loose them. And, Lord, that's anybody who's made any income even this week. Father, you say that first 10% belongs to you. Help us, Father, to be obedient and trusting, and, Lord, to turn that over. And, Father, we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.